Tonight, our guest readers, I will introduce them in un momento, but after that, we are going to invite anyone who has a book or a poem in this book, invite you to come and read your poem on the mic. So, any featured poets in the Five Words anthology, you can come and read after our featured poets. So, tonight, folks, our guests are the five word competition winners. So the first winner, sorry, the first place is Derek Sellin. Woo! Second place is Mary Ann Smith Sellin. And third place is Lauren Theis. So we're going to get them to read their poems, and we're going to go, starting with Laura Theis, who came third in this year's competition, and I'll read Laura's biography now. So Laura writes poetry, songs, and fiction in her second language. Her work appears in Poetry, Oxford Poetry, Magma, Rattle, Aesthetica, Mislexia, and others, and has received accolades such as the Alpine Fellowship Writing Prize, the Oxford Brookes Poetry Prize, the Poets and Players Prize, and many more. Laura's poetry debut collection, How to Extradite Yourself, published by Dempsey and Windle 2020, was the winner of the Brian Dempsey Memorial Prize, an Oxford Poetry Library Book of the Month, and an Elgin Award nominee. Her collection, A Spotter's Guide to Invisible Things, won the Live Cannon Collection Prize and received the Arthur Welton Award from the Society of Authors. So please give it up for Laura Theis joining us via Zoom.
Hear me okay? Yeah, I wish I could have been there in person. It looks really, really cozy. And yeah, congratulations everyone in the anthology, and congratulations Elizabeth for winning tonight's challenge. And yes, I'm gonna share the poem. And it's called, it had the five words, field, disturbed, image, abstract, and ruby. And it's called Imagine a Field. Imagine a field disturbed by nobody. Imagine the firs that grow beyond it and the fairy spirits they shelter. Imagine late hawthorn rubies on bare spine branches, dirt puddles frozen into abstract paintings. Imagine yourself walking into the scene and lying down on the cold ground. Imagine what color the sky would be, and how many sharp-winged birds you'd witness crossing above you. Imagine closing your eyes and your retinas painting an afterimage of avian patterns. You've made such a habit of seeing yourself as a prisoner. But look at this picture of you, surrounded by free things, how you fit right in. Thank you so much. And then there's a second poem that was also in the anthology, and that one is called Self-Care für Unsichtbare, and in translation that would be Self-Care for the Invisible. It's a short one. Self-Care for Unsichtbare. Listen, if it gets bad, you must cover yourself in old mown grass. Trace the lines of your face with a horse's tail stalk. Stick your bare feet into an unknown river. Step on something sharp, then pull the thorn out of your own toe. Even though the angle is awkward, put a little plaster on it and say, "There, good as new." Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura. The competition was judged by Theo Dorgan, and Theo gave his comments in this book. And for Laura's poem, he said, "An adventurous and persuasive invitation to the reader's imagination, and a corrective to the rather trite cliches of contemporary journalism, a rebuke to the idea that humankind is somehow outside nature. We too can be free things, and if we trust our imaginations, as this poem does, we can fit right in. So thank you very much, Lauren. Thank you. So, second place in the competition was Mary Ann Smith-Sellen. Mary Ann Smith-Sellen is a poet and painter from Canterbury in Kent. Her work has been recognised in competitions including Sentinel Literary Quarterly, November 2017, and the Ovale Five Words Competition 2019, where she came first place, so a previous winner there. She has been widely published both in print and online. Marianne's first full poetry collection, The Shape of Our Lives, was longlisted in 2023 Indigo Dreams First Collection Competition. She is currently working on poems for a new pamphlet themed around memories and photographs from her 1960s childhood. So we're joined by, oh yeah, and Marianne's going to read her poem that came second and another poem as well.
Thank you very much, and thank you to everyone there at Ovale. I wish we were there with you in person, and thank you to Theo Dorgan, the judge. My poem is about Derek Jarman's house at Prospect Cottage in Dungeness. He moved there in 1986, which was the same year that he was diagnosed as HIV positive. And in the 7 years before he died in 1994, he managed to create a garden there, despite battling his illness and the almost impossible conditions presented by Dungeness, which is Britain's only desert, shingle desert. So it's a remarkable achievement, and it's become almost a place of pilgrimage for gardeners and lovers of his work. So this is Gardening in the Other World, and the five words were flight, flood, peace, herb, and post. A life story, love story, written in flesh, flower, and thorn. An other world sown into stone, seeking a way to thrive in a shifting desert of shingle and salt spray upon most meagre sustenance. To garden here is a lesson in what will survive. Everything takes flight. The sky and the sea, pen across page, film through reel. In this auditorium of unhindered horizons, there's nowhere for the sky to hide its untidiness, its streets of cathedral clouds. Nothing to break the journey of the sun's chariot from dawn to dusk. The anywhere of night awash with a flood of stars. Driftwood posts, the steeples of this open shrine, lift the weak and the stunted heavenwards. The twisted forms of wartime iron, now clad in peacetime demob suits of CP, and the dog rose has not had its day. Held between flintstone teeth, are a softness of flowers with names that read like chants or prayers. Sage and rosemary for long life and remembrance. Rue, the herb of grace. Breath of heaven, yellow archangel. To garden here is to cross the boundaries of borrowed land. For love, for passion, to know loss. To plant your own heart and soul for others to find, for the bones of ideas to form shapes in their minds. And with survival, always just beyond how far the eye can see. Forget me not, heartsies, immortelle. And my second poem was written for an anthology about six prominent women with a personal connection to Gillingham in Kent. And my poem is about the novelist Rosemary Tonks, whose very mysterious life has been very well described in the introduction to the Blood Axe reissue of her collected works, which I highly recommend. So this is called Tracks on a City Life, For and After Rosemary Tonks. You cannot sleep. Time swings its slow censer. Rain clatters steel toe caps on rattling glass. Yesterday's crumpled thoughts lie strewn about, unfolded, because the drawer where they belong won't shut, for something long stuck at the back. Born half orphan, half mourning herb, the full label flung around your neck too soon, too suddenly. What a strange, haphazard city the mind is. The old part huddled around its church of learned behaviour, that darkened house always to be run past, and both now hidden in a tangled web of odd, unplanned developments. If you are lost, compassless, with sun, moon, stars all unreachable, you must follow those tracks dropped at your feet by corvids, the scribble of the river, bells. No quick ascent to high hopes when lifts are broken. Instead, a long climb up flights of stairs where nicotine niches hit out at each turn and old breath still huffs about on landings. Everything looks different in monochrome light. Cup rings, or the ghosts of burst bubbles, blighting once vigorously polished wood. Try as you might, you cannot wash out the incense of rare things burning, nor shake from memory their smouldering ashes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marianne, and congratulations.
Thank you.
So what Theo Dorgan said about Marianne's poem, Gardening in the Other World, the sheer exuberance of the words, the flow of attention and the interplay between what is seen and what thought the seen thing evokes, these things delighted me. Derek Jarman's garden in the shadow of Dungeness Power Station was, among other things, a celebration and an act of defiance. The poem does him and the garden a beautiful justice. Thank you, Marianne. Congratulations to our winners. And the winner, first place winner, is Derek Sellin. Derek Sellin is from Canterbury, UK, and has written poetry, short stories, and plays over many years. He's written on a wide range of subjects, from Indian cave paintings to the myth of the Minotaur, from a Chinese street seller to Spanish art. His writing has won many awards over the years, including having won the Canterbury Festival Poet of the Year and twice previously winning the Ovale International Five Words competition. So no stranger to first place in the Five Words competition with all different judges, I should say. His first collection was The Arch and Its Shadow, and he is currently preparing a third collection. So, without further ado, please give a big round of applause. Congratulations. Oh, before that, I should mention also, Derek Sellin happens to be the husband of Mary Ann Smith Sellin, who you just heard read by coincidence. So, you have to put that in your bio. So, yeah. We're going to hear Derek's winning poem and another poem from Derek. So, thank you.
Hello, everybody, and thank you. Thank you, Ovale. Thank you, Theo Dorgan. Thank you, Paul Casey. And thank you to Michael Ray for the marvelous trophy that I received the other day. I don't know if I think you've seen photographs of it, but it really is. When the light shines through it, it was something of a miracle that the that we got the email saying that we both won prizes. I genuinely think it should have been the other way around. And anyway, so I'm going to read Against Cartography. Map was one of the five words, and as soon as I saw it, it started ideas. I think one of the things in my mind was using cartography as a metaphor for the surveillance society. That was in my mind while I was writing. Against Cartography. Take a map by the scruff of its folds, snip the wires of its grid, interrogate it until it confesses how it has scrawled itself across the wilderness, has tinted the world with pallid blues and greens and browns, given ice fields and deserts the polish of names, noosed hills in contour lines. Keep it in isolation, no visits to Street View or cartographica.com. Treat it badly, rumple it and trample it so that mountain ranges tumble into the creases. Accuse it of misrepresentation. Sentence it to shredding at dawn. Show the mortality of landmarks and cartouches, nothing but ink on fallible paper. Governments will demand compensation for highways that have wandered over cliffs, for cities sunk into swamps, border guards dizzy with amnesia, landowners arrested as squatters. Tell them to breathe deep the oxygen from liberated forests, to feast on anonymous vistas, step with the impudence they deserve over fallen no trespassing signs. Quick, before long-legged theodolites march over the ridge, deeds of ownership parachute down, flags sprout on summits, bulldozers and diggers storm the defenseless valleys. Captured, say with innocence to the judges, all I did was in imagination. There are no maps there. The mind runs free as a river, tracing its random course towards the boundless. Turn away when they show you the geography of your brain, every illuminated crinkle plotted on a screen. Keep your faith in bare, unmapped existence, if you can. And my next poem is called Layla. It's based on the old Persian Arabic tale of Layla and the poet Majnun, which you may have come across. Layla was forcibly married, despite being in love with the poet. And while she was married, the poet waited outside the house at night and sang to her, which rather annoyed her husband and the rest of the family. I've given it a contemporary twist. Layla. Her father said she'd be a good wife, and she would have been, but for the poet. She was young and flattered, with no defences against the words that spun her into their song. Out of the dark of the yard at night, his wailing chant. It was a voice that pursued and possessed. Even the dog sat and listened in a circle. He woke the house. Crazy curs, madman stalker. By day, he led a hermit life, lurking in the desert and in the mind. Her husband fettered her with suspicion. Now that her illness brews, the poet sings of a heart that ails. Her thoughts reach out across the sands. Let me be. A tumour kills me. Not passion, but more night lyrics blossom. She sweats her sickbed black, closes her ears. He wants to heal her with kisses, or else immortalize her dying. Two men's fantasies pinion her, as her husband hovers, watcher at the pillow, alert for her death. She knows he needs to hear firsthand whether it's his name or the poet's that's first, that's last out of her lips. Layla, she shall howl, claiming back her stolen soul.
Thank you very much, Derek.
Thank you.
Thank you. So Theo Dorgan said about Derek's poem, First Place, I thought of the Hopkins poem, Inversnaid, am I saying that right? When I read this, and of Brian Friel's translations, a championing of what is wild and wayward, what is not to be confined inside the grid of maps, and by extension inside a reductive frame of reference. A beautifully extended and mastered metaphor breaks free into a hymn of praise, a celebration of unmapped existence, masterfully handled. Well done, Gary. Congratulations. And now you can masterfully handle the marvelous trophy, which you can see here as well. So thank you very much to our three readers and for their wonderful poems. And thank you for joining us on Zoom. So now we're actually going to have the shortlisted poets first. And then after that, anybody who has a poem in the book is free to come and read. So I believe Alison McCrossan is here with us in person.
I forgot my glasses, so I'm reading off my phone, hopefully. Not getting any younger or smarter.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. The words were hold, ordinary, code, shift, and nuclear, and its inheritance. It's probably in my genes, ordinary. A daughter to parents who lived through rationing, Second World War, hard workers and poor. There is a structure in biology, a nuclear envelope, whose critical function is to protect genetic material within the cell. I'd love to know more, how environment got in, the very worst elements, and twisted the code until solace came to me in a bottle for a short while, but then turned and swallowed me like I was dirt in the night. How I was called many years later to this, the shift. Believing in nothing, I found myself on my knees, praying to anything, something. How a creep of violets unfolded, bluebells in April, candles on the horse chestnut, blossoms alight. How I try now to find the words for what has been given to me and go for holding blocks for a soul. Every day, how I work so hard for the love of it all.
Thank you very much, Alison. And Alison was placed second in 2023, so also no stranger to the International Fibers Competition. So the next person we should have is J.A. Spada in joining us from USA.
It is Spada, and you are completely forgiven.
Thanks.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you all so much. My five words were hedge, hide, word, drop, and spirit. And it is just a little thing. The title being, to be done before anything drastic. Feel squirrely? Hide this in a joke. Put some words on cream paper, erase them. Finger drum a mermaid opera watching kernels pop. Sweep them from the floor when the bowl drops. Stop shaking. Trim the hedges until it rains. Ponder lightning. Resist holes in the spirit and dare to make a plan. Saturday. I will swim on Saturday.
Thanks, Jacob. Thanks, Jacob. And Nicola Newlands and Asya. Tracy Newlands?
Sorry. I didn't quite hear the name. It's very early in the morning here in Sydney. So thank you very much, everyone, for this amazing competition, because I look forward to every Tuesday. So thank you. That's when the words come out here. So my poem is called For Sam Lawler, Who Used His Gun. And he was my great-grandfather, and he came from the west coast of Ireland, actually. So, ignore the ghost in the corner. Great-grandfather was buried in hallowed ground, though God knows how. From generation to generation, the curse is passed. We live like steam and die like wildflowers, limp after the ecstasy of one day in light. Sam's grandson keeps one bullet by his bed. Ignore the ghost in the corner.
Thank you, Tracy. Next up is Mary Louise Kiernan in the USA.
Good evening again, and 1,000 thanks to Paul Casey, Theo Dorgan, and the whole OVAIL team. And congratulations to the winners, the shortlisted ones, and any of the poets who take on these challenges. So in the words that are in this poem, the five words, squirrel, twin, wait, ripe, and find. And in the title, the word tail is used twice. The first time it is spelled T-A-L-E, second time T-A-I-L. A tail for no tail. A squirrel is a squirrel is a squirrel, you tell yourself, until you spy the one with no tail, catapulting from limb to limb to limb, across the old twin-trunked tree. How could it have no tail? Caught in a snap trap with no way out but to chew it off? A tangle with another critter? No matter, there are chores, errands, work to do, yet you wait. This rodent races light. Could there be a pair? Do squirrels have twins? Triplets? Twin sheets getting ripe, finishing with the washings, you find no tail twining itself around a birch branch, seesawing. Its tail hair sought for fly fishing lures. Did someone yank the tail and run? In his shed, your uncle chopped tails of caught plump mice to collect bounty. For years, your no tail springs up, down, around the tree. How long can a squirrel survive? Then you find a new home where your garden grows riper, riper. Pulling at weeds, you ignore two full-tailed gray squirrels. You search the word squirrel. Its roots sprout from scurus. Skia for shadow, aura for tail. Weak gray squirrel sits in the shadow of its tail. Once again, you recall the squirrel with no tail, only to ponder the why of why you wonder. And as of now, no tail has a tail. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Louise. Next up is Brian Kirk in Ireland, but on Zoom.
Hi, thanks very much. I'm actually in Dublin. I wish I was there. It looks like a great evening. I'm just going to read my poem. It's called Storm Glass, and the five words were wind, sleep, limit, glass, and story. Storm Glass.
Brian, sorry, it's just a bit, there's a lot of interference. Would you have headphones maybe, or just so that we can hear you, or do you want to talk there a second and we'll just see if it...
Okay, sorry about that. I don't have headphones to hand. Is there a noise in the background here?
Yeah, it's a bit hard to hear you. There's just a bit of static.
Okay, well, if you want to leave it and maybe come back to me and see if that works.
Where is the microphone on your computer? Is it blocked with something by any chance, the page or anything?
No, I'm just using the laptop mic on it. So.
It's on as well? Okay, it's on the webcam. Yeah, do you want to try dialing with your phone maybe? And we can come back to you in a minute.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. So
perfect, just so that we can hear your phone as well as we can. Cool, we'll come back to you in a little while. Thanks, Brian, sorry for that. Cool, so we'll jump to Marcella Raymond in USA. Marcella won the competition in 2022, so lots of winners.
Thank you to Ovale and to Paul Casey. And I too really love the five word challenge because I'm a really lazy writer. And so it spurs me on every week. I really love it. So this poem is called Rapture. And the five words were red, remember, neighbor, shatter, and cross. Rapture. I'd like to say when I see red, I feel the fire and blood, the exquisite sacrifice of martyrs, bones shattered against the cross, or that ecstatic, I feel a Pentecostal dove circled in flames, alight in the nest of my hair to anoint me with its post-ascension wisdom. But when our neighbor comes to the fence with a pot of red begonias, I remember how last summer you floated cinquefoil blossoms, scarlet stars in a cut glass bowl on the kitchen table, and this, red stars adrift in a sky of water, is all the rapture, all the blessing I need. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcella. Next up is John D. Kelly, who is in Northern Ireland.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yeah, good. Okay, my poem is called Leaving Ursa Minor. Thanks very much to Vail for including me in this anthology and to Theo Dorgan for choosing me in the shortlist. Ursa Minor is a constellation of stars. Its claim to fame is that it contains Polaris, which is the North Star, which is a star used in navigation. So the poem's sort of about navigation. It's also got an epigraph on it called I Bees Troubled, which is a song by Muddy Waters. Leaving Ursa Minor. Stay in the light, stay in the light. It's like a warning, a double flashing signal when you say it softly, twice, before I leave the bakehouse. Before I lean over the counter, before I put my dark, woolly-hatted head closer to the low-hanging shade, try to make light of it. My brain is like a black hole sucking photons. But the rare illumination that leaves your lips bees so easily understood. I soon become aware that I'm no longer troubled as Muddy was when he sang, and I'm not stuck in the black stuff like a homesick Paddy. It's not all Greek to me. Your voice sparkles clearly as if from a distant constellation, as if from stars that guide me in the ancient ways of navigation. And I wonder how you steady me, and I listen to how the music changes from major to minor. I think of Cole Porter as I walk through a portal, a signposted access that takes me back, then back again into the sunlight. And I can see once more that I am the space where I am, a jigsaw piece that bees at the seat of my sitting. I'm at my writing, eating buttery sourdough toast and pondering that sometimes I do not be at the opening of a door as I now know it, but at a barrier to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. Is Brian back or will we? No, Grant. We'll carry on and we can hop to Brian soon. Okay, so if any of you lovely folks have a poem in the book and would like to come and read said poems, you're invited to. No, that's the open mic. So right now you can read your poem, Sue. yes. So you're invited, encouraged.
Yeah, no worries.
Roisin.
Yeah.
Thanks. So the words were hell, pixelated, dinner, devil, and foot. And the name of the poem is Aperitif. One eye stark, staring hell straight into the gut of its pixelated pre-dinner aperitifs, mojitos, margaritas, sinuous sips of sex on the beach, while the devil's ulcerated foot taps out time with bat-winged phonetics. Not easy for the living ear to hear, too hyped up on sucking life through a paper straw.
Thank you, Roisin. Phil Spillan, making his way through the crowd. That's you. You too.
No. Should we have Brian?
Oh, Brian is back. So, Phil, can you hold your horses for un momento, por favor? Brian Kirk. Hi, Brian. You're just muted there, Brian. Oh.
Hi. I'm back again. I hope you can hear me. I couldn't access through my phone, I'm afraid. So I hope you can hear me.
It is. It's perfect now. Thank you very much. Thank you. Much.
But okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. We'll go again. Stormglass. Stormglass. His daughter cares for him these days. One time she thought he walked on water. Now the decks he tramps are not his own. Not decks at all, if truth be told. He pauses by the locked door in the hall and taps the glass and squints to read the story of the skies. You cannot know the limits of the world until you weigh anchor, strike out for the horizon. Some nights when he can't sleep, he listens for old voices in the wind. And when the voices rage, eyes closed, he knows the glass is clouding. A storm is on the way. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian. Yeah, Phil.
Okay.
Thank you. Big congrats to everyone that's shortlisted and the winners and stuff. This is a great night. We're all so talented, aren't we? You're all so talented. This is the words were rin, ricochet, muckluck, pours, and beamish. I'm quite entertained at ricochet has a T at the end. Wow, English is so weird. Anyway, this is called Warning. She can read fortunes in empty beamish glasses. If the phone makes rins, spirals, means marriage. Or if the black stuff is full of pores as large as eyes, watch out. She barks if you see a mucklock. Rum! Her head distorted by the beamish glass. Shaking my head, I pick up my empty pipe and say, what the fuck is a mucklock? The glass ricochets in my right hand, and I spit, I jump, I swear. And somewhere I hear a mucklock laugh.
So now we're going to jump to Zoom and we're going to have Jeff Cottrell.
Okay, so this was from October. The five words were hell, pixelated, dinner, devil, and foot. And I called the poem Dinner with the Devil. I had a three-course dinner with the devil in hell. The appetizers were flat, but the main course was swell. It had a sweet taste, but with a touch of spam. It was spicier than chicken wings, bolder than lamb. I asked the devil, what did you put in this dish? He shook his head and answered, to know you don't wish. Oh, come on, I whined. Tell me what's in this dinner. He rolled his eyes and said, the foot of a sinner. Some pimply kid in Cork that I caught masturbating. My demon sawed his foot off and left him there, grating his teeth in agony and pain. There, are you satisfied? I shrugged and I said, honestly, I think you lied. I've had sinner foot before, and this is way better. Okay, fine, said the devil. It starts with the letter P, but I swear that it's nothing too gross. Platypus, I guessed. You're right. Thank you, my host. Then he poured some cheap wine, and we got pixelated, and I went to Yelp and made the devil's cuisine 5-star rated. That was Dinner with the Devil. And before I go, I am planning to be in Ireland this November. Hopefully I can make it over there to Ovale and be there in person with you people. You on the open mic in person.
Hey, thanks, Jeff, and we might see you soon.
Sorry.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Thank you.
Mona.
This is from September. And I have to say first what a joy it is for my age to be here in amongst such talent, which is encouraged by the likes of Paul Casey and Pat Cotter, etc., in Cork. The encouragement is unbelievable. The words were beat, slant, contaminate, guitar, and dizzy. Hooray, I'm off the housing list, gifted a site by the council, dizzy with delight. Now I can build my cabin. I will arise and go early, go to the bank, the builder, not for blocks, but clay and wattle. Good enough for the Ashanti people, good enough for me. I will have a garden. Mike is making a hive for my honeybees. I will grow my food, my beans in a row. I will have peace there, dropping quietly. Not the drip, drip of leaks and the scuttling of cockroaches. I will sit in my garden with my Aldi water feature, relaxing to the beat of my guitar under the slanting sun. The neighbors will envy me, my bee loud glade, as the cars swish by on the potholed Innisfree Road.
Thank you very much, Mona.
Thank you. Before I read my poem, I would like to point to this beautiful page, In Memoriam to Mary O'Connell. She's here in spirit with us today. Okay, this poem was from May 23, and the words were Ring, Ricochet, Mucklucks, Pores, and Beamish. Add flames to fire. Black is the night. An upside down pint of Beamish. Snow, blankets, mountain slopes. Campfire casts a tiny spot of light, quivering among rugged ridges into foothills dark and vast, where we sit sweating in bearskins, mucklucks pulled under to cushion the cold from below. Stories and songs break from pores, drip from our tongues, add their flames to the fire, circle the hearth in a ring of friendship. Black is the night above our heads, white the surrounding cover. Our laughter ricochets in echoes, beams a spark of hope into the bleak mountainside. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. We'll hop to Zoom. Pam Campbell.
Okay. I have two poems. The first one is Glazed. The words were film, conspicuous, discombobulating, blue, and spacer.
Sorry, Pam. There's just only one poem. So if you want to pick your favorite.
No worries. They're both short, but I'll just do one. Thank you. As I said, the title is Glazed. Blue was the film Glazing the Glass. Discombobulating mother and child, black thundering smoke, the spacer between mother and child, bomb blasted heartbeats, discombobulating mother and child. Blue was the film, glazing the glass, conspicuous between mother and child. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam.
This one is from January, and the words were hope, therapy, electricity, clouds, and neon. Rain. In therapy, I talk of clouds, of how their neon linings keep me awake till sunrise, the way that light flickers through the window before I fall, and of how the electricity of those morning dreams is my only. I am a cloud machine, I say. Rain waiting to fall. My hope, a seed in the ground.
Thank you, Wilson. Catherine Rowland?
This is from August 23. TFW. Oh, sorry. The words were ginger, seek, breath, horse, and polymer. TFW. Polymer me this, polymer me that. What is that Ken in a new sun hat? Waiting for Barbie to arrive on her polymer horse. His chest tightened and his throat felt hoarse. "Breathe," he said, "as we seek the dream, licking ice cream off each other in the next movie scene." J.J. Fisher-Price was the director, with an enormous ginger beard. Scene two, act one, boys and girls. Time to get TFW totally fucking weird.
Thank you, Catherine. Matt Mooney is going to join us from Zoom.
I'll read this especially for our lovely visitors, Sandy and Kim. And it's from the 11th of December last year, and the words were, "Film conspicuous, discombobulated, blue and spacer." And title is "Homemade Flight." Now, when you're on another flight into Egypt, since Gaza's south is no longer safe, as they were told by the Herodian, whose reprisal for invasion has become the slaughter of the innocents, You do not want to be conspicuous under any circumstances while drones are out to discombobulate and disembowel you, anything resembling human movement. And when out of the blue means fire and brimstone down upon your head, suddenly it's as if you are part of a crowd scene in a film bombarded off the face of the earth. And if you are left to live, you just sit there, be you man, woman, or child, shut down, half dead, feeling for your body parts, looking at what's left of your world, like a spacer, shell-shocked, dazed to death. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Anyone from the room? Antonio.
Hi. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Patrick, for the selection. It's an honor to be here, and I am very proud that my poems have been selected. This poem, so the five words were necklace, jazz, glorious, and security and peace. This was the five words challenge of the 10th of July. The poem is called "Sound of Leaves." The wooden necklace of the baby had a carillon melody, colorful as an electric jazz. At the feet of the moon, astronauts and scientists were following the dance of the stars. There was a silent peace in their eyes, whispering to the planets words of interstellar sand and security before the storm, courage after the rainbow, counting the colors of Jupiter rings. An endless will be the glorious sound of the leaves on Mars. For a few moments, the necklace of the baby was reflecting the light of the moon. I will kiss the sparkling sunset, reflecting the light of the Big Bang. Thank you.
Is Massimo?
No, yet. Massimo to go.
Is there anyone else in the room with the poem in the five words? Yeah, Karen.
Hi. The words were still, brittle, door, anniversary, and quake. Only in the door, quaking at the thought of the anniversary, like a cactus still brittle from 20 years of neglect.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? No? Anyone lurking down the back? Down the back of Zoom? No? Is that everybody? Yeah? Cool. Well, I think there's one question on all of our minds, and that's, what the hell is a mukluk?
I looked it up when I was working on the five-word poem. It's actually a type of boot.
Yeah, a boot, a slipper.
It's a type of boot that's like made from deer skin.
Oh no!
Jeff,
do you have a definition to hand?
It's a boot.
A boot.
Oh, me? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. It is actually no.
It's a boot.
We've got confirmation that it is, in fact, a boot. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you to everybody who read. Our three winners of the International Five-Word Challenge and shortlist poets and all of the poets who read here. So, time.
Oh, we got a picture.
Those boots.